meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, brothers and sisters, we have all been baptized into one body. And I am ever grateful for such incorporation, especially last week. Especially last week, when embarrassingly my voice completely left me. And as Arthur reminded us when he stepped in to finish for me, alongside of Walt assisting with the distribution of communion and Libby's off-script lines in the prayers of the people, Arthur reminded us that through all the attacks of the enemy, we are together the unified body of Christ and wholly dependent on one another.
Amen.
There's not one member that is more important than the next. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, which is a continuation of our epistle reading from last week. We began this reading. Now, I'll tell you that these readings, I didn't choose these readings. These were the lectionary readings that have been chosen. And how incredibly appropriate are they, considering where we are, what happened to me last week, and that today is our annual meeting where we discuss the corporate body of Christ. So just the Lord is at work, friends. The Lord is at work. The Spirit is at work, even in these lectionary readings. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, again, we began this last week, that the entirety of the body always depends on itself, on the other members of the body for greater benefits. Most importantly, the body depends on the goodness of God, but the body depends on itself to raise itself up. Again, not one member of the body is more or less important than another. The eye is important, Paul says. The ear is important. The head, the foot, all the parts of the human body, in this metaphor, this analogy that he's using, all the parts of the human body are important for our daily functioning. To walk, to eat, to sleep, to go to and to work, to do the things that we have to do. All parts of the body are important for our daily function as human beings. It is the same for the body of Christ. It is, if the body of Christ is going to function fully and as it should, all members are necessary for the greater good of the body's work. We all bring different skills, abilities, different wisdom, different knowledge, different experiences, different strengths and ways, different ways to build up the body that all benefit the greater good of the larger body. And our spiritual giftedness, then, is always and only for the benefit of the body. It is to bring others in, surely, but it's always for the benefit of the larger body. We are individuals, every one of us. We are individuals who think, live, act, vote differently. We do things differently. We are individuals. But we are, most importantly, part of a greater and larger body than myself. Mm-hmm. And friends, I have long been saying that the greatest work of the Holy Spirit, we talked about the spiritual gifts last week, and how, you know, there are maybe 23 different spiritual gifts. I think the greatest gift that the Holy Spirit gives us is the unification of repentant believers. I mean, just look at this body today. Gathered in the ever-changing life that we seem to be living right now. So, brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, united by the Spirit, worshiping the triune God, utilizing the gifts for the collective good, are indeed a bastion for God's glory on earth. And that bastion of God's glory cannot be defeated. To be sure, we know very well that the enemy knows that we're united. The enemy knows what is happening. The enemy knows that we're gathered here today, that we are making this work today. The enemy knows that. The enemy knows that we are not only getting by, but we are thriving. The enemy knows that we are dedicated to worshiping the risen Lord Jesus. Throughout this tabernacling journey that we've been on these last 2.5+ years now, from displacement and movement to personal attacks on health, to new heartbreaking diagnoses, to danger, toil, and snare. We know that the attacks of the enemy are real because they surround us on a daily basis. They surround our body regularly. And last week, the attack was on my voice, again, which went completely out during the prayers of consecration of Holy Communion. The enemy knows and doesn't want us to continue. This week, again, as late as 4 p.m. on Friday, we received notice that Hot Gap and all of the Charleston County School District school buildings were closed and would not be able to be used at all. So we had to scramble, make last-minute arrangements to move worship and annual meeting and everything else. Friends, the enemy knows. The enemy attacks in a variety, in a multitude of ways. Through health scares, different diagnoses, through dissension among the body, through grumbling, complaining, even weather. So many more things. The enemy knows and attacks us where the enemy thinks we might be the most vulnerable, where we might have, where there might be a little bit of room to come in there and drive wedges between our body. But here you are. Here we are. Always making it work. The body of Christ here at St. John's Parish Church is alive and well and thriving despite anything that could come in front of us. And I am constantly reminded of those wise words that I heard from Mr. Philip when we began this journey 2.5+ years ago. He said, "We'll make it work. We've always made it work. We've always made it work." Brothers and sisters, we are. We are making it work. Even more than that. This congregation always has made it work and always will. Because we know that there is something greater, that there is a larger body, and not only that, there is a larger Lord. So, as I mentioned in the announcements this morning, on Friday evening, I attended the consecration service of the parish church at Habersham. Which is led by our dearly beloved friend, Father Jamie Sosnowski, Polly's son. And we all know and love Jamie very well. It was a beautiful service. I encourage you to go down there and visit whenever you can. But after the service was over, there was a reception following, and I was talking to another priest from the diocese who attended the service, who just asked about you. Asked, "How is the congregation of St. John's doing? And everything, you know?" And that could be a very long answer there. but here's the reality. Here's the reality. I had a very quick, very precise, and very definitive answer. I said, "This congregation is resilient." This congregation is resilient. They have to be. They know that they are. You, brothers and sisters, are resilient. I can't say that enough. I can't commend that enough. You are resilient. This morning, again, is a simple testament to that. Many of you crossed bridges that were closed earlier this morning. Many of you crossed bridges, drove through icy back roads. You made every effort to be resilient and to be here because you know and you believe the most important thing that any of us will ever do is worship God. So here we are, to worship God. In this last 2.5 years, we've had to make adjustments, many adjustments. Again, this morning, no different. We've made adjustments to be here. You being away from Hot Gap, we maybe sitting a little bit too close, maybe a little bit too warm, maybe we're parked a little bit too far away, having to walk through muddy puddles and ice to even be here. But you've made the adjustments. Your resiliency has shown yet again. Praise God for that. Thank you. Well, friends, the Lord has been preparing us for many, many years for the things that we have been experiencing these last 2.5 years. And in that, we look to the examples of Scripture. I love the example of Scripture that we had this morning. Again, this is part of the lectionary readings. I didn't choose any of these. The Lord prepared the people of Israel in a resiliency that we read about in Nehemiah this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8. We read that Nehemiah was the governor, Ezra was the priest, and this was immediately following the release of the exile in Persia that the people of Israel had. When the people returned to Jerusalem, now there was a remnant in Jerusalem, but the people returned to Jerusalem, and what we read this morning is that Ezra opened up for the first time in many, many years, generations, the book of the law of Moses, Holy Scripture. He opened it up, and he read it. And the people listened, the people worshipped, and the people wept. They wept because it had been so long since they had heard those sacred and amazing words. They also wept because they came to the realization of really just how sinful they had been in the absence of God's word being read. Though in the sadness and in the grieving of hearing this for the first time in many, many years, the people were encouraged to not mourn, to not weep, to not grieve at all, because this day is a day that the Lord has made holy. The Lord has made this day holy. This is a day of rejoicing. You are hearing God's word for the first time in generations, now being read aloud. And the people were reunited. They were brought back together in that great work of the Holy Spirit, brought back together, reunited, listening to Holy Scripture. And they had already taken upon the task of rebuilding Jerusalem. The walls had been torn down and burned down, and Jerusalem was in a bad state. They took upon this task to rebuild Jerusalem, to build it back to where it once was. Each family actually restoring the wall nearest their own home. The body, friends, working together, using the benefits that it has for not themselves, but for the greater good. The body working together, being united, building and rebuilding, always for the greater good. Verse 10. In Nehemiah chapter 8, contains a phrase that I would like to be a phrase for us today. I even printed a few of these out. You may have seen them. I left a few around. This is Nehemiah 8, verses 10. It says, this is the very last few words of it. It says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. After God's word had been read aloud to the people, after the weeping and the grieving, after they had been told, "No, don't weep. This is a joyful thing," the Lord tells them, he gives them that great encouragement to hold on to going forward. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The united body of Christ, friends, is so much greater than anything that we can ever experience from any worldly standpoint at all. The Lord sets free those who are under assault, oppressed, or discouraged, as Jesus himself said in the reading of the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Friends, there is nothing man-made, or there is no human being on earth who could ever unite, set free, forgive, or build up like our triune God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I think, as we look at that, we look at the strength, we look at the joy of the Lord, we look at the amazing things that have happened, the difficulties that have happened along these last 2.5 years. I was so incredibly encouraged being at the consecration of the parish church at Haversham on Friday night. You know, after having just received that news that we cannot worship and not yet, we don't have access to the buildings, where, I might remind you, that we keep a lot of our supplies for worship. We're not able to access that building. I was so incredibly encouraged at the consecration of the parish church in Habersham. Because it gives me great hope, it gives me great knowledge that our body, the body of St. John's Parish Church, is part of a larger body. We're not on an island. We're not on our own. We're not an individual. We're part of a larger body. A larger body that cares for, that prays, that knows us. And I was asked by many people, people that I know, people that I don't know, how is St. John's doing? They care. They pray for us on a regular basis. Consistently. We're part of a larger body, brothers and sisters. The larger body gives encouragement to our body. That, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, that if one suffers, if one member suffers, all suffer together. That if one member is honored, all rejoice together. The same goes, the same is absolutely true for our lower body. The body here, the larger body in our diocese. That many, as you know, many of you here present are suffering right now. Suffering through a multitude of things. Health problems or mourning, whatever it is. There are lots of different things that bring suffering to individuals. We suffer together. We are united together. Friends, it would not be possible for us to even be remotely as resilient as we are without being blessed by the devotion of the entirety of this body, especially those of you here today. And I believe with my whole heart that all of us should feel honored and blessed and rejoice together through our sufferings, through our victories, through all of the things that we go through together. We are one body made up of a glorious, imperfect, sinful, blessed, and resilient membership who worships Jesus together. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength indeed. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Lord rejoices when we worship Him. The Lord rejoices when we come to Him in repentance. The Lord rejoices and the enemy cringes every single time that we come together as the body of Christ. So we rely again on that great promise. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Amen. Amen.